Jehovah sneaky, because I mean, know sometimes God is just Jehovah sneaky. He just sneaks in there and does things in your life and does things in your midst and say, God, you're awesome. You're just sneaky. You just know how to move in areas. And so every now and then I just like to minister like Jehovah sneaky, just slip in there and you know, do some sort of something, a blessing, and just move on. And sometimes people not even know you've been there, but they know somebody. Hallelujah, that knows Jesus has been there. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you feel good today? Hallelujah. Do you feel anointed? Do you feel like a deliverer? Hallelujah. We talked last Sunday on three qualities of a deliverer. How many know Shamgar was a deliverer? Hallelujah. He doesn't get much credit. He doesn't get many scriptures. I think he gets two scriptures out of the Bible where they even mention his name. Hallelujah. But how many know a deliverer? We said last Sunday, three qualities of a deliverer. Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you just got to start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. My dad used to say, you know, people talk about, I can't pay my bills. He said, well, if you can't pay them, you can't pay them. He said, why are you fretting over them? You know, he said, if you can only do what you can do, you know. And so worrying about it doesn't change. He said, worrying won't change the number of hairs on your head. It won't, you know, it won't change your circumstances. It'll give you wrinkled lines. It'll give you high blood pressure. It'll do a whole lot of things for you. But it won't help the situation. Amen? I mean, no, sometimes you just got to stand where you are. Do what you can do. Hallelujah. You got to start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can do. Sometimes, you know, even in those smaller things, I'll say small things like paying bills, sometimes they're not small things, but how many know you just got to start somewhere? You got to start somewhere. You got to put one foot in front of the other and say, today's the day for change. Today is the day where we start right here, right now. How many know Shamgar had taken the long way around for many, many years, and because the Philistines had occupied the highways, they were forced to take the crooked paths and the low ways and the roundabout way, until one day Shamgar stood up and said, enough is enough. I've had all I'm going to take. This is my land, my highway, and today's my day to make a change in where I am. Hallelujah. And I mean, the scripture says that Shamgar had an ox goat. He didn't have a tank. He didn't have an Uzi. He didn't have a rifle. He didn't have any, you know, it doesn't say that he was loaded, but he was loaded with something. I'll just say that. Hallelujah. How many know there was anointing that rose up on Shamgar? Hallelujah, that said, today's your day, and the Philistines are in your path. And he took what he had, which was a stick that he used to prod the oxen to get them to go. It had a point on one end and a shovel on the other. Hallelujah. And he went up against 600 Philistines. But how many know that young man knew how to use an ox goad? And sometimes it's not about just what you know how to use, but it's about anointing that raises up on you that says, you were born to be a deliverer. You were born and destined and purposed for such a time as this. This is your day. This is your hour. You're anointed for more than what you're walking in. Anybody in the house anointed for more than what we've seen up to this past? You are anointed for more than where you have walked into this day. So today's the day you take a stand and say, this is my highway. This is my road. This is my path, and I will walk in that which God has purposed and destined me to be. Hallelujah. So I believe there's a generation of people that's willing to stand up and say, today's my day. Anybody in the house want to say, today is my day? Hallelujah. I was born to be a deliverer. Hallelujah. I was born to be a deliverer. So he doesn't get a whole lot of scriptures. He doesn't get a whole lot of fanfare, but he's listed in there. Hallelujah. Because he took matters into his own hands. Hallelujah. Not just into his own hands, but into God's hands. How many know sometimes when we place things into God's hands, we find out the battle's really not ours, it's the Lord. So if you're worn out from fighting today, if you're worn out from battling, it's because you're fighting a battle that's not yours. You're fighting a battle that does not belong to you. Say, man, I've been, you know, I hear people say, man, I've been fighting the devil all week. Well, why you been doing that? The scripture says the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Now, the scripture does say that Satan's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I just tell you, growl back at him. Growl back at him because he's been defeated at the cross of Calvary and quit giving him your address. Amen. Quit giving him your address. Allow God to do the fighting of your battles for you. And we know that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other. Now, sometimes your fight may involve other people. Should I get off of that and keep on going? Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's where we're stopping, speaking tongues there. Glory to God. I mean, sometimes it can be to other people. But you're only responsible for your response and how you respond in it. How many know forgiveness is not so much for the other person as it is for you? If you can ever come to a place of forgiveness in your life and come to the place where you say, I will freely forgive, it will be so freeing to you, you won't know how to act. Amen? Because now they're responsible for their own thoughts, their own actions. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful that the battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. The battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Hallelujah. I mean, I know most of the time we don't even have the capability in ourselves to fight the battle. Shamgar did not have the ability in himself, I don't believe, to fight this battle. But the God in him, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon him. I mean, not too long ago, back last year about this time, I preached about a man who slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. How many know that's a mighty man? Hallelujah. That's not somebody to be reckoned with. A mighty man. Hallelujah. But it's the anointing in us that makes us mighty. It's the anointing in us that makes us mighty. Hallelujah. So we don't stand up in our own strength and our own power in any way. I am nothing but for the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I am what I am because of the mercy and the grace of God in my life. Hallelujah. So I'm just so thankful today. You know, I've just been pondering a lot about the ability to come to the house of the Lord that you choose, to worship how you choose, the God whom you choose. Amen. That's such an honor to us today. Hallelujah. To be gathered together with the saints and to worship in the way you choose, where you choose, and the God you choose. There is no God like unto our God. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Judges chapter 6 today and pick up where I meant to go last Sunday. And then the Lord had different things in mind. So we're just going to kind of continue a little bit on that thought or that mindset. But I want to go to Judges chapter 6 today. And I'm starting verse 11. So if you go ahead and bring that up for me. And it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joaz the Abizarite and his son. Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So we'll stop there. First of all, it says the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak. I mean, a lot of times in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord would come, he would sit under an oak. Abraham built a pillar under an oak when the angel came and told him that Sarah, his wife, was going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes when God don't make sense, you just got to laugh. You just got to laugh till it happens. Hallelujah. Joseph was buried under an oak. Jacob built a pillar or an altar under an oak. Hallelujah. So when this angel shows up and sits under an oak, he's got Gideon's attention. And the scripture says that Gideon is threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Well, everybody knows you don't thresh wheat in the wine press. You press wine in the wine press. You thresh wheat in the threshing floor. Amen. So that you have the wind to help blow the chaff away, to help make the separation when you do the process of threshing the wheat. Amen. Hallelujah. So why is he in a wine press? Well, the scripture says that the wine press back in that day was a pit that was made low into the ground. And the grapes were put in that pit, and then you would get in there and you would trample out the grapes to get the wine out of the grapes. And so it was a low place in the ground. So Gideon basically is in there threshing wheat by the wine press, so he's out of view of the Midianites. So nobody sees him where he's at. How many know Gideon is in a low place? He's in a low place, and it's out of character because you don't put wheat in a wine press, you put wine in a wine press. Hallelujah. And so for many years, Gideon's got a bad rap, and we say, oh, Gideon was a coward because he was hiding out. He wasn't hiding out, he was hiding wheat behind the wine press. I think Gideon was not a coward. I think he was a mighty man of valor. We're going to find out that exactly how God felt about Gideon. But somebody had to hide some wheat under the wine press, because what was happening, the Midianites would come about the time when their crops would wipe and would wipe out their crops. And because they could control them, because they would have no crops and no provision, but somebody named Gideon said, my family needs to eat. I'm going to hide me some wheat in the wine press. How many know sometimes you got to go against popular thought or popular vision or the popular thing for the day and say, you know what, as for me and my house, somebody got to make some provision. Vision somewhere in the house. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to stand up and say, I need some wheat, and I'm going to go against what the Midianites say. I'm going to hide me some wheat in the wine press. And I believe God must have said, this Gideon, he's got some spunk in him. He's got some foresight. Hallelujah. He's going to start where he is. He's going to start where he is. He's going to use what he has, and he's going to do what he can. And so the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Boy, when God says you're a mighty man of valor, you're a mighty man of valor. Amen? But Gideon doesn't say, yes, amen. He says, and Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord. Anybody ever respond like that before? Oh, my Lord, holy Minerva, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why has all this happened to us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But thou, the Lord, hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon's response to the angel of the Lord says, he says to him, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And Gideon's response is, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, where be all his miracles? Where is all these stories I've heard them tell about he brought them up out of Egypt and delivered them with the high hand, and all the things I've heard all my life told about this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where be all his miracles? Now, don't raise your hand in here this morning, but anybody ever had some of those same responses in your life? Thank you, Trish. She's not afraid anyway. Oh, my Lord, if God be with us, where be all his miracles? Where are you, God? Now, I know none of you all ever said that except me and Trish. But how many know sometimes you'll find yourself in a low place, and instead of crushing wheat in the wine press, you're hiding out some wheat. How many know Gideon is just trying to survive? And heaven help us if you need me to help somebody else survive, because I'm doing all I can do right now to take care of me and mine. And then you come to me and say, hail, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. Now you need me to do something for some. I'm doing all I can to take care of myself. He said, where be all his miracles? I've heard the stories. I've heard the testimonies. Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where is the great deliverer? But he's forsaken us and brought us into the hands of the Midianites. Can I tell you the response to Gideon's comment and his comment to the angel? He says, where be all his miracles? The fact of the matter is, the miracles are locked up inside of you, Gideon. You're about to see God do something miraculous, and you don't even know that the miracle is in you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we sell ourselves short because we don't know that the miracle is within us. I mean, no, God wants to do something great and mighty in our midst, but because of circumstances, we say, God will never be able to break through that. God will never be able to use that person. God will never be able to do anything there. Well, I love a challenge. Hallelujah. If God be with us, where be all of his miracles? Well, they're wrapped up inside of you, Gideon. Hallelujah. Are you on board? Are you interested? Because if you want to see miracles, they just might be in you, and you may just have to step out and say, go ahead, God, and show yourself big. Hallelujah. And so what Gideon started to do was assess the situation. Hallelujah. Where be all of his miracles? And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I mean, no, he told Gideon to go in his might, that he was a mighty man. And he said unto him, again, I love this, oh, my Lord. And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever thought you were the least likely candidate for God to do the miraculous? Anybody? Anybody in the house? Got a couple of you in here. The rest of you are already deliverers. Thank God. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we look at situations and say, I'm the least likely candidate for God to choose to do something like this. I laugh all the time because I am standing right here, because I grew up a very shy girl. I was not much of a talker. And I say, Lord, you have a sense of humor. You really have a sense of humor. Hallelujah. How he does things. But he said, in case you don't know it, angel of the Lord, I am poor in the house of Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. If you're looking for credentials for a mighty man and for a deliverer, you may have stopped at the wrong place. I am Gideon, the poor guy from Manasseh who is the least in his father's house. Anybody can think of any scriptures in the Bible where God called the unlikely character and called them in to do the miraculous? How many know Moses wasn't a speaker? David wasn't a soldier. Hallelujah. Jael wasn't a prophet. Hallelujah. Esther wasn't a warrior. But how many know God puts people in strategic places as he sees? I want to tell you, you don't go places by chance. There's not many times lately I think that we go places that it's even by chance, because God makes divine connections in our lives sometimes. And we think, God, I didn't just end up here by chance today. You have sent me, and when I thought I was going about my own way, you've sent me to make connections with somebody who needed to hear about Jesus. Or you may have sent me and connected me because I needed to hear something today. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we may think we're the one going to minister, and only to find out when you get there, I was the one that need ministered to. And thank God that he's faithful to bring you what you need when you need it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the ravens that bring the bread. Hallelujah. I had the opportunity to speak to a friend of mine this week on the phone, and he was sharing with me some things about the scriptures, and then I was sharing with him with some things about the scriptures, and it was just an awesome encounter, because he was preaching one thing that I had preached on, but then he's doing some stuff that I hadn't, and we were connecting things together. And I said, thank you, God, for inspiration. Thank you for your word that's anointed, and that deep calls the deep, and it causes something inside your spirit to leap when you hear somebody begin to minister. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for those times when I can glean and gather, amen, from the body, just what you need at the time. Hallelujah. And so Gideon says, I am not the man you're looking for. I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Hallelujah. How many know our enemy was defeated through one man? That man named Jesus on a cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. And one of the first things that Gideon does, he offers an offering unto the Lord, and he puts it on the rock, and it's consumed by fire. Hallelujah. And the next thing he does is he goes into the areas and the places where they've had the Baal worship, and he begins to tear down some things that have replaced the presence of God in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. How many know they had begun to serve in idol worship and had worshiping the idols of Baal? And the name Gideon, or Jerubbaal, which they call him also, is a destroyer of Baal. Hallelujah. How many know he was a destroyer of the false gods of that day, or anything that exalted itself against the name of God or against the name of Jesus? How many know sometimes there are some things in our life that need to go down before we can progress forward? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's just mindsets. Sometimes it's mindsets that says, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, and I'll never be able to do what God calls me to do. Hallelujah. I tear down those mindsets today. You are who God says you are. Hallelujah. You are stronger than you think you are. And so the scripture says that he tears down some idols. And when they begin to challenge him, they said, who did this? And all of his friends spoke up and said, Gideon. You got to love friends. Hallelujah. All the people began to say, well, it was Gideon. And Gideon's dad said, let him alone. If Baal is God, Baal will fight for himself. Baal will speak for himself. And so he threw down the idols of Baal. And then he put some fleeces before the Lord. And he says, oh, Lord, if you're really speaking to me. He said, I'm going to put a fleece out on the ground, and if the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, then I'll know that it's God's direction in my life. So God's faithful to Gideon, and the next morning he gets up, and the ground is wet, and the fleece is dry, and so Gideon's got his answer, right? So then he says, okay, Lord, don't get mad at me, but one more time. If we get up in the morning and the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, you know, or vice versa, however, and he says, then I'll know you're speaking to me. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we just say, Lord, send me a sign. Lord, send me a sign. Lord, if they sing that song one more time, I'll go to the altar. Lord, if they sing that song one more time, I'll go minister to the person you've laid on my heart today. Lord, if they'll just sing that song one more time, I'll step out. I'll do what you call me to do. Lord, if I get to the store and that person that's been on my mind's there, I'll tell them about Jesus. Anybody ever put a fleece before the Lord before? Lord, if you'll just, and then God does it, and then we're still fearful sometimes and thinking, okay, maybe that was a coincidence, yeah. Hallelujah. And so we put fleeces before the Lord. Lord, give me a sign. Instead of just trusting in his ability to direct us, that when God says, Gideon, you're going to smite the Midianites as one man. Hallelujah. And I'm going to make you a deliverer in Israel. Hallelujah. And so in Judges 7, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, there it is, or destroyer of Baal, who is Gideon. See, he's already got a name for himself. He's already the destroyer of the false gods, Jerubbaal. And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Hallelujah. So the very first thing God says to Gideon is, you got too many people. Hallelujah. You got too many people. Now that's normally not a bad thing. But in the case of Gideon, it is. How many know sometimes we put our confidence in people and in numbers or noses and toeses more than we put our confidence in God's ability to do the miraculous? Hallelujah. What happens sometimes, we put our confidence in man. We put our confidence in people. Hallelujah. I've often said before, it's not God I don't trust, it's people. You know, sometimes. So our trust has to be in God, because if your trust is in other people, you're going to get disappointed from time to time. And he said, Gideon, if you go in like this, with this mindset, then it's going to look like out of your own strength and your own might and the might of the people that they delivered themselves out of the hand of Midianites. So he said, the people that you have are too many. Yep. Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, heaven help us. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. There remained 10,000 people with him. So he says, what I want you to do is tell everybody that's fearful and afraid, go home. So Gideon goes out and says, all right, guys, if you're fearful and afraid, just go home. 22,000 people, go home. 22,000 people, go home. Now, see, one of the things that I think the mindset or the thought here is, how many know fear is contagious? Fear is contagious. When you begin to talk fear and when you begin to speak fear, it's not long till the people around you are fearful. You can talk about our nation right now being, and talk about it being fearful, and before you know it, everybody is in the same mindset of that same fear. You can talk about sickness. I mean, and even as a child, you can be in a situation and somebody can make a suggestion to you, and you might not have been afraid before, but now all of a sudden you're afraid. Amen? Hallelujah. And we do that to kids sometimes. We'll say, don't you go over there, the boogeyman will get you. Shame on you. Because we instill fear in it. I mean, no, fear is a way to control. We're doing that to control a behavior. Hallelujah. And I mean, no, if we're not careful, we'll use fear as tactic in the church and things like that to control people's behavior. And what you'll find out, or to bring them to the altar, and what you'll find out, they're there until the fear subsides or wears off. And then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. I mean, no, it's not fear that will hold you, but it's love that constrains you. And if you can ever get people to fall head over heels madly in love with Jesus, you won't have to worry about dragging them to the altar. You won't have to worry about dragging them to church or keeping them there, but they'll be so head over heels madly in love with the Savior that they won't be able to wait to get there. Hallelujah. And so I pray all the time, Lord, just cause them to fall in love with you. Just cause them to fall in love with your presence. Cause them to fall in love with your people. Because if you ever fall in love, I've said this before, you do crazy things when you fall in love. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll spend money you don't have. You'll drive through snowstorms you shouldn't have been in. You'll work all day and then still go out at night. Even when you're tired. Because you're driven by love. Hallelujah. Love will make you do crazy things. Love will make you pay your tithes. It'll make you be faithful. Love will make you want to help your neighbor. Love will make you want to do the things that you know to do, not because you have to do them, but because you're in love. Hallelujah. So he said, everybody's fearful, just go home. Because fear can be contagious. And if 22,000 of y'all are fearful and only 10's not, y'all need to get on out of here. Because you're about to infect the other 10,000 with fear. Amen. How many know the scripture said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're dealing with fear, it's not of God. And you can say to that thing, get on out of here, because I will not let fear dictate my actions. I will not let it dictate my day or my thoughts. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to let fear have a voice in the camp. So fear, if you're here, get on out of here. If you're fearful and afraid, he said to them, go home. 22,000 people, go home. Somebody pray and say, God, you did say that, right? And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are yet too many, bring them down under the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall go. How many know not everybody is meant to stay in your present? They may have been a part of your past. They may not be a part of your future. Everybody that's been connected to you may not be meant to go all the way with you. There's some people have come that are passing through and come. Some are going to come meant to stay, and those God ordains to be in your life, you need to connect to. Amen. And he said, you still got too many people. And it doesn't say it in here, but Gideon probably said, oh, my Lord. So he brought him down to the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And a number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And I love this because he says to them, he said, I want you to take them to the water. Take them all to the water. And those who get down and they lap it like a dog, he said, I want you to put them to one side. But those who drink from the hand, I want to put them separately. Hallelujah. How many know when God gets ready to do something mighty or miraculous, he doesn't necessarily take everybody that's connected with you, but he takes those who were drinking from the hand. Hallelujah. How many know the hand a lot of times in the scripture speaks of the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those who are drinking from the hand, those who are connected to what God is doing. How many know the scripture, Jesus went along and he healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day because his outreach had been damaged, but God was about to restore in the land, in the day and time, a people that would minister, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Hallelujah. And they have a purpose in the body for equipping the body, for perfecting the saints, to bringing us all into the unity of the body of Christ. How many know there is a purpose in the fivefold ministry? You need apostolic voice in your life. You need prophetic word in your life. And prophetic doesn't always mean thus saith the Lord. Prophetic means a preceding word that comes out of the mouth of God. You need that word in your life. You need evangelistic words. You need your pastors. You need teachers to speak into your life. I mean, no, we are not an island by ourselves. Hallelujah. We need to learn to drink from the hand, to draw from what God has purposed there. And 2 Timothy said, I will lift one hand without wrath, and I'll lift one hand without doubt. How many know I believe that there's a ministry on the scene that is not dealing with a hand, a heavy hand, or a hand of abuse, or a hand of heaviness on the people, but they'll lift one hand that's without wrath and one that's without doubt and is preaching a message of the gospel of peace, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that's reaching out and touching people. How many know we need some people who are drinking from the hand? We need some people who have. And when I believe when they're knelt down on their knee and they're drinking from their hand instead of lapping from the water, I heard Pastor Shirley say this one time. She said that was the people that had their eyes on what was going on around them as well as the time they could see what the enemy was doing and they could drink from the hand. Those who were down on their bellies only saw their own reflection in the water. I mean, if you're looking for your reflection in the water, you're going to be disappointed every time. But the scripture says we need to look into the mirror of the word to see his reflection in us. Hallelujah. We need to see what the word says is true about us. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to shame, rightly dividing the word of truth. And for years I heard that say, you got to study, study, study. To be approved by God. If you just study, study, study. And so then on those days when I didn't feel like I'd study, I feel like I fell short of the glory, you know, and I felt like I wasn't what I need to do. But that's not what the word says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. How many in here know they've got the approval of God today? You need to study to understand you've been approved by God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to tell you today, you have God's approval. Yes, you do. Hallelujah. You have God's approval. And so there was a ministry of people. There was a body of people. How many know sometimes there's a core group that's not the masses. Somebody said this to me not too long ago, and they said it laughingly, and they said it as a compliment, but they said, who would have thought out of a little town on a hill, some hillbillies would be able to accomplish what has been accomplished all over the world? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I've come to the place to quit making excuses or apologies for who God has made me to be. And if it's a hillbilly, it's okay. But I know how to survive in crisis. Hallelujah. I know how to fend for myself if I have to. Hallelujah. I know how to butcher a hog, kill a deer, can some meat, you know, do some vegetables. We know how to do those things. But how many know God sometimes takes the least likely candidate and raises them up to do the miraculous for His glory, not for our glory? Hallelujah. Not for our own pat on the back, but that so that God might be seen or God might be made manifest. So He said, I want you to find a group of people that's been drinking from the hand. And when you find a group of people that's been drinking from the hand, you're not going to worry about, you have to worry about the enemy in your camp. I love that. I love that. Sister Donna Barbara had shared some of this in Canada, and I had gotten the CD, and so I was shouting all the way because we was, you know, changing notes and things. But there is a people, there is a corporate people that are drinking from the hand of God, hallelujah, that are not fearful, that are not afraid, that are ready to stand up and say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm tired of hiding out in the wine press. I'm ready for wine in the wine press and wheat in the threshing floor. Hallelujah. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being less than what God called us to be. I mean, you know, the Israelites were not functioning in the way that God had ordained them to be because they allowed other things to come in and crowd out their identity and who they were in Christ. Hallelujah. So He said, you find those people that are drinking from the hand, and those are the ones you're going to take with you. And He says in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. Send all the rest of them home. So the people took victuals in their hand, their trumpets, and He sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host. And that thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So He says, now, if you're still fearful of what I have said to you, of what God's about to do, I want you to join yourself to Purah. I think it's interesting because He says to him, if you're still fearful, but Gideon didn't get to go home. He sent all the fearful and afraid home, but Gideon didn't get to go. He said, if you're still afraid, I want you to find Purah and take him and go to the host of the Midian camp. The name Purah means the branch. He said, if you're still fearful, get a hold of the branch. Get a hold of the branch. How many know Isaiah? Bring up Isaiah 11, if you would, Steph, 1 through 10. How many know Jesus is the branch? You got to know that the branch is on your side. Anything you go to do, don't do it by yourself. Do it with the branch. Do it with Jesus. Do it with His redemptive finished work. Do it through the cross of Calvary. We don't do anything in ourselves. We do it through Him. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is talking about Jesus here. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Thou shalt not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, till it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Hallelujah. One more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and the islands of the sea. How many know Jesus came to be that root, that branch out of the stem of Jesse? He was of the house of David. Hallelujah. In the book of Exodus, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they had crossed the Red Sea, and one of the first places they came to was the waters of Marah. And the scripture says, and the waters were bitter there. Hallelujah. And so they had faced all of the other miracles that God had already done with them. They first stop they make in the wilderness. They come to a place where there are bitter waters in Marah. And the people chided against Moses and said, what did you do? Bring us out here into the wilderness to die. Here we are, we have no water to drink. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been in any bitter places before? Ever had to deal with bitterness? I mean, no, bitterness is a root that'll grow. And it'll get worse. And it can strangle out. And it can cause you to be, to lose heart. It can cause you to be weak. It can cause you to dwell on things that you need not to dwell on. Amen. I mean, sometimes you have to work not to become bitter. You have to not allow bitterness to take a root in your heart or in your life. But Moses had a remedy. God gave Moses a remedy for bitterness. He said, you just put the branch in it. You put Jesus in the midst of every situation, and you watch him do the miraculous, and he will cause bitter waters to become sweet. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for the times in my life when I can look back and see where there were times that there could have been a root of bitterness in my life that could have controlled me. But for the grace and mercy of God, God brought the miraculous in situations. And I look back now and say, thank you, God, for bringing healing. Amen. And those areas of my life. And I refuse to be bitter. I refuse to be a victim to anything. I refuse to allow things to control my life that I may not have had any control over. Amen? Hallelujah. And so God deals with those roots of bitterness. And the remedy for bitterness is to put the branch in it. Let Jesus minister in every area of your life. Hallelujah. So he takes the branch with him, Pura. And he says, I want you to hear what the enemy's saying about you. Just go down and hear what the enemy's saying. And he said, thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were that without number, as the sand of the seaside for multitude. Hallelujah. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So he said, if you're still fearful, take the branch and go down into the enemy's camp and find out what the enemy has to say about you. And he interprets a dream and he said, this is nothing more but the host of Gideon, and God has delivered us into his hand. Hallelujah. You need to know what the enemy says about you. I say, you need to know what the enemy says about you. I talked about this a little bit last week. He probably says, oh no, she's awake. Oh no, she's praying. Oh no, she's worshiping. Oh no, she knows she's the healed of the Lord. Oh no, he knows he's a mighty man of valor. Oh, he knows he's been delivered. He knows he's the righteousness of God in Christ. He's coming to know who he is. He's coming to recognize that he's the anointed of the Lord. He's coming to know he's a deliverer. She knows she's purposed and destined, and she's got destiny in her life. Hallelujah. See, that's what I think the conversation of the enemy is. Hallelujah. It should be one that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, it says, oh no, she's awake. Oh no, he's awake. He's up. And he knows who he is. She knows who she is in Christ. Hallelujah. Because if you know who you are, you won't have to be tempted by what the enemy says. Jesus goes into the wilderness, and in the wilderness, the enemy comes, Satan comes to him and says, if you be the Son of God. But see, there is no temptation if you already know who you are. Jesus would say to him, get behind me, Satan. Didn't you know what the word says? Didn't you hear what my father just said? Because my father just said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So say what you got to say and take your best shot, because I know who I am. I know who I'm purposed to be. I know what I was called for, and I was sent for such a time as this. So say what you got to say and take your best shot. Hallelujah. But the enemy's confession was, we've been delivered into the hands of Gideon. Hallelujah. How many know Gideon had confidence when he knew what the enemy said about him? When the enemy knew they were already defeated. Your enemy knows he's already defeated. Hallelujah. And not by our own fight or flesh and blood, but because of the cross of Calvary, we have victory through Jesus. The scripture says, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come can ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the enemy knows about me. And so then lastly it said, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, that the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. How many know Adol? He says when he heard what the enemy said, he began to worship. And when he worshipped, he went back to the host and said, get up, guys, and get ready, because the Lord has given us victory today. Hallelujah. How many know out of your worship comes victory? That says, we've got the victory today. Our enemy knows who we are. Hallelujah. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zereth, and to the border of Abimelech, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. He said, I want you to do as I do when we go into the camp. And he said, when I tell you to shout, I want you to shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. How many know there's a key word there? Gideon. Because when he went into the camp, he said, this dream is nothing more than the sword of Gideon that's commenced amongst us. How many know when they heard the word Gideon, they knew their dreams had just come to pass, had just been fulfilled, that God had delivered them into their hands. Hallelujah. And here's what they had: a light, a vessel, and a trumpet. How many know that you have a light? You are the vessel, and there is a prophetic word. Now, if you got a light and a pitcher in one hand and a trumpet in the other, how do you break the pitcher? You just use the trumpet, that prophetic word. You take the trumpet, breaks the vessel to reveal the light of the gospel in you. Hallelujah. How many of the scripture says, if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare to battle? It is always the prophetic word or the preceding word of God in your life that will break away the clay pots and allow the light of your destiny and your purpose and the light of the gospel to shine forth in your life. Amen? And here's the last thing, and this is good, because the scripture says, not one time does it say that the men of Gideon picked up a sword. See, it's real tempting to want to pick up a sword and fight the battle with, to try to control or to fight with the sword. But how many know the trumpet is always more powerful than a sword? Joel talks about a people that will beat their swords and weapons into plowshares. If we could ever become farmers over becoming fighters, we would see so much more come to pass. If we would use our weapons for plowing and planting seed and growing and sowing into a harvest, we wouldn't have to worry so much about fighting with swords. And it's tempting sometimes to want to pick up a sword and control people, but the prophetic word, the trumpet, and the light of the gospel is way more powerful than your sword will ever be. Amen? Hallelujah. So we don't fight with our own sword or our own strength, but we go in the name of God. Hallelujah. You are a deliverer. Start where you are. Amen? Use what you have. And do what you can, because you're mightier than what you think you are. Oh, my Lord, I am poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. You're just the person I'm looking for, Gideon. You know that in yourself you have nothing, but in me you have everything. Hallelujah. How many know God's not looking for the strongest, the brightest, the bravest, the cutest, the thinnest? Thank God. He's not looking for the perfect person. He's looking to make himself perfect in you. He wants to use you and everything that he's gifted in you to make you mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Pulling down of strongholds, mindsets, thoughts, anything that wars against you, your enemy that wants to come against your mind, it has no authority in your life. You have power over it. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty. Through the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a mighty man of valor today. You need to know that there's potential in you. Hallelujah. And you need to join yourself to people who are drinking from the hand. Amen. You need to drink from the hand today. Draw from the resources of what God has put in your... We are not an island by ourselves. We cannot function and thrive to what we need to do by ourselves. Amen? But we need to draw from the body of Christ and the giftings that God has placed in the body of Christ, that all of us come to the fullness of what God desires in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you feel like a mighty man of valor today? Hallelujah. Do you feel like a mighty man of valor today? Hallelujah. Amen. We're a blessed people. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Let's just give him some praise this morning and just thank him for victory in our life. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you just got to quit talking defeat. You got to start talking victory. I am who God says that I am. If the Lord says I am, then I am. Whether you see it or not. Hallelujah. If the Lord says I am, then I am. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.